Over the hills, a state of mind inside your head. The first chapter is over. Now I'm going strong. I'm so ready for what's next, so bring it on. Yeah, here's to being 40.
Hello. My name is Morgan Freeman. Rory and Heather, I stumbled upon this during my weekly routine where I Google myself. And I know that sounds dirty, but it's not. I have to say, you have a fabulous show, and I totally approve of this concept. Now, as for the payment, don't play this part, but Rory and Heather, I swear to Christ, if that check bounces again, I'll never do another goddamn favor for you in your whole lives. I'm fucking Morgan goddamn Freeman. I don't need this bullshit. Okay, have a great day. And keep podcasting.
How the hell did Morgan Freeman find this show?
I have no idea, but how many listeners do we have? Like 11? And Morgan Freeman, the Oscar winner, has found this show somehow? Maybe he's Googling his own name. He sends us in a voice note. Incredible. He made it after 40. You know him for his distinctive, deep, buttery voice in various roles in various films. He's received numerous accolades, Academy Awards, Screen Guild Awards, Golden Globe Awards, all after the age of 40.
You guys have to watch. Find where the video's at, because Rory's delivery is when he says something that he really thinks is either funny or important. He's never looking at the camera until he says that one line, and then you deliver it. All after 40. Why the hell does that matter, Rory Gardner?
Because after 40, everyone's like, I'm gross, and I have nothing to offer the world. All right? I wasted all my time in my 20s and 30s screwing around, and now I'm too tired to buckle down and really take a piece of... take my piece of pie out of this world. Well,
you
I think
when you turn 40?
No, because I've been trying to kill it this entire time. But a lot of people, they put it on hold until like their kids grow up or until their career's done or whatever, and then they get into it. But all these actors and singers or whoever the heck we're profiling, they've all mysteriously just sort of, you know, chipped away at the stone until they finally got their big break after 40. But in Morgan's case, all this happened after 50.
I know, dude.
This man's got to be 110 years old. Like, he's just...
You mentioned his, real quick before you go into his career, his act, his voice. Did you know that he took dialect lessons and had a voice coach to get his voice that way? Because he apparently had a very Southern accent. You know, he's born in Mississippi. No, Memphis, Tennessee. And a voice acting coach came in and was like, hey, that's really going to limit you. And so he taught him how to enunciate his words and get rid of his accent, which I felt so convicted after listening to that.
That's actually a really, so he probably recognized that he had, like, it's hard to work on tone. He probably recognized that he had a great tone to his voice, but maybe his accent or whatever it was holding him back from what he needed to do with it. So he recognized that he had this skill set in the voice. It's his natural born vocal cords. And so he just leveraged it as best as he could. So like, let's put fire on the, or oil in the fire or something to make it the best we can.
Before we get into what we can pick out of his career and making it after 40, 50 years old, tell me a little bit about just his journey. I mean, it wasn't like he was discovered in Home Depot or something at 50 and went into acting. He's been at it for a minute.
So he was born in the 30s. So he'd been acting a long time, and he started his training, let's say it, in theater. So he was doing plays and stuff like that, Shakespeare plays like Coriolanus and Julius Caesar, right? And I don't know if you've looked into this sort of thing. Like, based on my experience with Shakespeare, if I was acting in a play, like, it would probably be called Cole's Notes. Okay, I could not wrap my head around Old English or even New English for that matter. I remember in high school, we had to prepare for this presentation in front of the class, and I'm there with my thing, and I watched the movie to prepare for it, right? I'm like, I really love the part where Julius Caesar addresses the people or whatever, and it's just, it was not, I remember distinctly the teacher asking me, like, what was Caesar's biggest contribution? I'm like, he's got a pretty good salad dressing. I don't know.
So since the 30s, at what point would you think regular folks would freaking give up? Because it's not like he was famous, you know, as a child or in 20s or 30s. I mean, my freaking God, what was the journey like? Did he have to work a job? I mean, what was the situation? Tell me, why didn't we interview him? He was just here. This is stupid.
Yeah, could you call back, Morgan? We have several questions to ask you. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what his side hustle was. Maybe you know better than I do. But I know his journey looked a lot like a lot of people in the come up, right? He was just taking whatever role he can get. He would take roles that fit whatever he was doing. In the 70s, he landed this role on a TV show. It was a kids show called Electric Company. And he's educating children, reading and grammar and stuff like that. All I can picture in this show is Morgan Freeman like reading to children with his buttery voice and then just them passing out from relaxation. Can you imagine that? The show should have been called Nap Time.
I have a little delay there. I need to Google this real quick. You have said buttery voice twice, and I've never heard anyone say that before. So this is what it means, a buttery voice. It's an adjective. It means unpleasantly and excessively suave or integrating in a manner of speech.
He is suave, and he does integrate his manner of speech. What was that word you used?
But it is pleasant, though, right?
Have you had butter? It's amazing. It's a compliment. It's not. It's like no one's going to be like, oh, he has a Brussels sprouty voice.
Have you had butter? This is something interesting about his young man life, early life. He went into the military. He wanted to be a fighter pilot, but for some reason he wasn't and he couldn't get into that. And so they put him in another position and he was like, F this. I don't want to do this. And he had to ask himself, what do I really want? He's like, I want to freaking act. And so it's like that disappointment from not making it as a fighter pilot. He was just kind of like threw in the towel. I was like, well, I'm going to go into acting instead.
I was just about to say, like, do you think that the military taught him discipline and stuff that would translate to his acting career on not giving up and things like that? But you just kiboshed that when you're like, he quit the army to go into acting. So I guess not.
I don't know. I'll push back on that here in a little bit when we get to the point where he actually broke through, because this dude has an insane freaking mindset. But what was it that actually broke him through? What opportunity?
Well, it was sort of like throughout 1989 and 1996, he was in a series of movies, like minor roles, not really minor. He was like the supporting character, but they were all pretty much bangers, right? So he's brewing the storm amongst these years. He got into like, what was it? If you do the math, first of all, 1937 is when he was born. And this is like 1989. He was over 50 years old when he got these roles, right? Yeah. So he's driving Miss Daisy, Robin Hood, Hollywood Reporter. Momentum is picking up through these days.
My goodness. And that's where the real freaking love for the craft comes in, my friend, because when you're not, we were just talking about social media and trying to figure out like how to present yourself, how to pop, the strategy that goes into it. This is pre-social media days. I mean, you can't even get any recognition at all for these small roles. So nobody knows probably what this dude's up to, how hard he's freaking working, but he freaking loved it so much that he just stayed in.
He stayed in it, but he's never really changed out of these supporting roles. Like his big breakout role, I would say, would be in like 1994, he plays Red in Shawshank Redemption, which is arguably the best movie of all time.
Ever.
All right, it's great. 1994 had a lot of bangers. Like, it was Shawshank, like Dumb and Dumber. That's when Jim Carrey was coming up.
Let me look this up. Bangers.
Are you looking up bangers? It's just an expression. You don't have to look up the...
You just say the weirdest things. I don't know if it's because you're Canadian or what, but you say things I don't hear. Buttery voice and bangers. A banger, it's a song with a loud, energetic beat that's good to dancing for. Or it's a sausage.
He created a sausage movie in 1994. Forrest Gump came out that year. That is my favorite movie of all time. And then Shawshank would be like a really close second.
Was he in Forrest Gump?
No. I'm just saying 1994 in general was...
Poor Jesus.
He might have been in Forrest Gump. I think he played the black guy.
This is something... Oh, stop it. This is something that he said. He said, I always wanted to be an actor. It is not serendipity. It is a fight I have been fighting all of my life when asked about his success.
Which means he... What does that mean? He has a calling and he's just been trying to answer that call this whole time?
He just said it's not serendipity. Like, it's not random luck that I freaking had something. I think it was the law of averages and numbers. He was so many years, so many films. Yeah, it might have taken him a freaking long time, but he said, I've been fighting all my life to be an actor. He is one of the most intense people I've heard interviews from when it comes to his mindset around this stuff, where his philosophy is, are you working? Are you doing what you say that you love to do? That's the only thing that's in our control. So, you know, you as a comedian, and I know you do this, are you getting up on stages constantly, consistently? For him, am I acting? Am I always finding a stage? He said, if everything was taken away from me, he said this in an interview, I would go find a stage. I would go find some local theater and I would get on it. And I think the humility of that, to where it doesn't even freaking matter if I'm recognized or not or famous or not, I love the craft, is a huge freaking ass check for all of us who say we love what we do.
I've got two things. So that's awesome. And he's accomplished it, right? He's solidified himself as a Hollywood A-lister, but more importantly, he gets to perform his craft at the highest level and on the biggest stage. So in order to do that, do you think he had to remove other things from his life that might have been distracting?
Guaranteed,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know what your goals are, but I mean, I don't love acting as much as he does. I just do it to leverage everything else that I'm trying to do in the comedy world. I could learn to love acting more than I do if I was given the opportunities to star in leading roles of major motion pictures. But for now, you know, it's just sort of an add-on to everything else I do. But you and I have discussed that we're both pretty distracted folks. So what do you have to remove from your life in order to amplify the one thing that you want to do?
I don't know, Rory. I need some freaking therapy around this. What you just said is the question of my life right now, of what are you doing? Is it a distraction or is it diversifying your skill set and helping you along the way? Because I do so much stuff. I'm definitely at my cap now. I can't do anything else.
Right.
But when do I start pulling stuff out so I can create more space to be better at fewer things? I don't know the answer to that.
I think it will call to you. Like, when it does reveal itself, it will come. So take Morgan, for example, right? He's never really been, you can't mention his success without talking about like the consistency or whatever, like his career spanned over 5 decades or something, but he's been in different genres of films, whether it be like comedy or drama, but he's never really changed. He plays, like, when you hire Morgan Freeman, you know exactly what you're getting and it's usually really solid. But I noticed he's never actually played like a principal character. It's usually the supporting character or like in an ensemble or something like that. So he actually makes the movie better by like supporting the main character. So you think Michael Jordan would be who he is without Pippen passing him the ball? Like, who the hell knows, right? But maybe some of us need to like recognize that our role in the creative project is more of a supporting thing rather than just hogging all the limelight.
Oh my God. We're gonna have to do this offline because I've had a huge revelation around that lately, understanding what my gift is and removing ego from it, because I feel like I'm a little bit like that for sure.
Can you give us the Cole's notes of a time where maybe deep down you thought maybe you're not built for the role that you had projected, but you're still kind of kicking the can and before pivoting into something as a better fit?
I've been thinking a lot about, because I'm pretty good at business and systems and organization and execution. That's my gift. I love it. Connor Price, which I know I don't think you like him, but I love.
He's great.
Okay, good, good. His wife, Brianna, if you ever listen to an interview with her, she is a freaking badass. She's so brilliant with marketing. She's the brains behind it. She writes his sketches for him. It was her idea to do the globe, but you don't ever hear her name. She's the beast though behind the machine, and nobody freaking knows that. And so I've been thinking a lot about, I get people constantly asking me for help and advice on different stuff because my business is around systems, processes, automation. I help people build things online essentially. But the artists in my life, the creatives in my life are always asking for that kind of support. And I don't ever see myself as someone who would help them with that. I'm always wanting to be the person in the light because I'm right. Selfish and egotistical and I have a big personality. But what if my gift was to come along somebody who's really talented and help build something for them? Would I be able to make a bigger contribution? I don't know.
What if you, I mean, I get what you're saying.
Another therapy on the Morgan Freeman Show.
Is there a pivot that might be like still adjacent to what you want to accomplish? If you take like Kathy Heller, or even myself, we both wanted to be rock stars, but then we sort of landed in the world of music licensing, which isn't exactly like selling out arenas, but it's still a lucrative way to still be in the music industry.
I think y'all are all going to roll your eyes and laugh at me. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but if you think of like a lower grade Scooter Braun situation, I think that would be ideal for me. Scooter is somebody who manages a bunch of people and is brilliant at business, but he also has a voice and speaks and does stuff like that. I think that would be like a perfect world for me where I could work with talented people, but also still have some kind of platform.
That's basically what an agent or manager does, right? Like they're betting on horses. They take 15% of whatever Justin Bieber makes. 15% is not a big percentage, but when he makes $1 billion over his lifetime, that's a pretty good chunk of change. Not a bad career.
Do you feel like that, what I'm talking about, or do you still feel like you want to be the talent?
I think I have a lot of value to offer other people trying to do what it is that I'm doing, but I think I'm still trying to do the thing as well. Same as you.
I know. It's a blessing and it's a curse, but also, too, it's hard to listen to somebody when they're not a practitioner. So I think there's a certain level of we got to practice what we're preaching to. We got really off. Y'all know that this show is really for me and Rory just to kick it about our lives.
Right?
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I hear feedback from people that this is like the stuff they want to hear. They want to hear about our struggles as it relates to like the guest struggles or whatever.
Well, here's a struggle that we can relate back to Morgan Freeman. When I was listening to him in interviews, I was like, this is the most confident human I've ever met. I've met you, Morgan. This is what he said. He said, somebody's like, how did you get your start in acting? He's like, well, I was really talented as a young boy. And he didn't laugh. It wasn't a joke. He's like, everybody knew it. I was a star. And he put a period on that and he was dead serious. Then he went on to talk about the rest of his career. And he's just like, I'm really good. I'm great. I'm blah, 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 blah. And part of me was like, this dude's super egotistical. But then another part of me was like, that's so badass that he can own his space and say, I'm good and not even blink. Now, granted, we know he has his buttery voice and he's a banger, but developing that confidence, man, I think that's part of the secret to getting to where we want to go.
Can you be confident without being a dick about it?
Yeah.
On the come up, he's an Oscar winner. He's accomplished a lot. He's 87 years old or something right now. He's allowed to say that stuff. How do you elude your own confidence without sounding cocky?
Well, I know I can do this more easy with like clients and stuff because it's so outcome based. So when I'm doing like a discovery call or whatever, I'll tell them, I'm like, we are good. We're fast. We're going to get you exactly what you need. And here's all our results to prove it. And if this is what you're looking for, you're meeting me for a reason. I'm super confident in that because for me, it's easy to put that on a process and a product because we've built something really good. I think it gets tricky when it's me in my voice and stuff, being confident around that because then it sounds cocky and that's probably just needing therapy. But what about you? Do you say I'm a bomb comedian?
No, you know what is what you just said? It reminds me of like my athletic days. I was trying to be like a really competitive squash player. And so I'm the type of person who really wanted to be really good. And so I would go out and practice every day. But the more I would practice, the more like repetitive stress injuries I would get in my elbows or hips and things like that. So it's like my ambition was greater than my body's ability to take the heat. Mm-hmm. So is that sort of resonate with what you just said as far as you have all these big lofty goals, but maybe you don't have the whatever it is to back it up?
Yeah, I think I know I'm good at what I do for business. I don't know that I'm good at what I do for the rest of the stuff. And so that's really just a challenge, maybe not to be more confident, but a challenge to be better.
I think you got it in you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Anything else high level from our man, the myth, the legend, Morgan Stinking Freeman? Isn't he lovely? What a lovely
man. I think
we've
covered a lot of it. And I'm a big fan of his. And like I said, he's just one of those guys who kind of slips under the radar. When people ask, like, who's your favorite actor? It's always this, that, and the other thing. But Morgan Freeman is like I said before, the Scottie Pippen to the Jordan. Like, he's just the guy that supports all these like leading characters. And I don't think the movies he's in would be the same without him.
Listen, y'all, we would love to hear from you. This is kind of a new venture. If you've been following us for a while, this 40 bit, find us over on Instagram. Please send us a DM. Let us know what you think, what you'd want to see covered on the show. If there's a celebrity who's made it after 40 that really inspires you, we'll probably respond back. Not, we're so busy. We might have to have our assistant do it. Who knows?